Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our new series of studies, which we have entitled Seven Methods of Bible Study. And we warned on our last broadcast, please do not think of this as a subject befitting the curriculum of a Bible college or Bible seminary. This is for practical, everyday Christians who love their Bibles, and it is a very profitable study, I feel, in my own mind. In the seven methods, we have seven avenues into the Word of God in our study to see what the Word really means. And those seven avenues, and you may wish to write these down before we get through this series of studies. The seven avenues are devotional. And in the devotional, we see the person of the Lord. And today on the broadcast, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the doctrinal or the principles of the Lord. And in broadcasts to come, the practical, the provisions of the Lord, historical, the mercies of the Lord, typical, illustrative, the magnification of the Lord, prophetical, the schedule of the Lord, dispensational, the order of the Lord. Now this sounds like a big order, but when you consider it, when you look for these things and study for them and be able to put them in their proper category, it improves your appreciation of what a wonderful treasure we have in the Bible. I think of that little chorus. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. Oh, what a precious book it is. It reveals the mind of God to us. Now, let's just get right into our subject. The word doctrinal means the principles of the Lord. Or the word doctrinal really means teaching in the simplest way of explaining it. It's teaching. It's from the Greek word that from which we get our English word, coin our English word, didactic, which means teaching. And it teaches us the ways of God. It shows us principles of God and how He acts, the things that make up His plans. It portrays the laws, the plans, the ways that God does things. It's a doctrinal. It associates us immediately with God. It's teaching. And we need that teaching, as we will see in just a moment. Now, God acts in ways that are consistent with His character. He has laws. There are laws of nature. The way He does things, they're consistent. They're always positive. And He certainly does have laws in spiritual things. And certainly these approaches to Bible studies, seven avenues into the Word of God, are very real and very practical. Now, the importance of sound doctrine, I think, is emphasized in Paul's admonition to his young son Timothy. Timothy was a very precious person to Paul, this young man, and he spoke of him as being his son. He was a father to him, and Timothy was a son to the Apostle Paul. Here's what he said to his son Timothy. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Now, he wanted him to continue in the doctrine, but to take heed to himself that he did that, and to continue in the doctrine, and the doctrine would deliver him from error, from sin, in all its aspects. There is the doctrine of salvation, the teaching of salvation. And now, the word deliver here, in this chapter, or this verse rather, well, let's read it again. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Now the word deliverance is inherent in the word save, save thyself. The word salvation is deliverance, really. And it will deliver us from error. It will deliver us from the burden of our sins. The doctrine of salvation was the first doctrine that we got acquainted with before we knew the Lord. And that doctrine tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us our need of Him. It tells us our sinfulness. That's a part of the doctrine. God tells us, our sinfulness, our need of Christ, our inability to save ourselves. There's nothing that we can do. God, out of his love, gave his Son to die on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, to take the responsibility for our sins. Our iniquities were laid upon him, and he died under the burden. And we simply have to believe in this and believe in the love of God and thank him and serve him the rest of our lives to the best of our ability. Somebody says, that sounds too easy to me, to just simply believe and then you're on the road to heaven. Well, that's all we can do. The work that saves is done. We just simply reach forth the hand of faith and receive what God has done. Salvation is a gift. We read in Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us that life. And now here we are. We receive it as a gift. And if we don't receive it as a gift, we won't get it. Now, Timothy was to take heed to himself. Now, that is a word of warning. Take heed to yourself. Continue in the doctrine. Don't forsake it. Know what it means. And then the doctrine will deliver you from error. It will save you from all different. There's salvation in many areas. We need deliverance from evil doctrine. We need deliverance from all the things of error and the sin with all its aspects. And then the doctrine will deliver the people of God whom he taught. Oh, what a charge the Apostle Paul gives his son Timothy in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. Now, the supreme example of doctrine, I feel, is the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we see there the wonderful words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that it was doctrine because it speaks of the closing words of the Sermon on the Mount are these, spoken at the last closing verses of the seventh chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Here they are. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now let's just make this practical. We've talked about the importance of the meaning of the word doctrine, the importance of sound doctrine to deliver us, and now we have the supreme example given to us in the Sermon on the Mount. Now in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to list a number of things that are, this is going to be very, very brief. It'll be a compendium. And it's the greatest compendium, I may say, of the gathering of the teachings of the Lord in any place in the Scripture. We have 10 things that we will consider, so we must be very brief. All right, number one, the Beatitudes are the attitude that brings blessing. We read in the Beatitudes, the opening verses of the fifth chapter of Matthew, where we read therein, where the Beatitudes begin, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Do you want blessing from God? Be poor in spirit. Feel the need of your need of God in your spirit. That doesn't say poor in the pocket, though. There's no advantage in that. Sometimes it's very inconvenient. This says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now notice, please, the next one. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn about what? Their sin. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This sets us in a right mode, in a right attitude, to gain the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount and see the beauties that are resident therein. Now there are the similes after the Beatitudes. There are the similes that we should, the things that we should be like, and they are salt and a lamp. We are the salt of the earth, the Lord says. Now, what is salt for? Salt is a preservative. The Word of God will preserve. And that one little dear Chinese girl said, when she was asked once by a missionary, why does the Scripture want us to be like salt? And the little girl spoke up so eloquently. that we might make people thirsty for the Lord Jesus. Isn't that precious? And now we're lights. We're to be lights. We're to be as a city set on a hill, as a candle that is not put under a bushel, a candle that is displayed, and we are to let our lives display the glory of God that has entered our lives. Now, next in that, we have the regard for the redeemed and the unredeemed in the Sermon on the Mount. This is an important area. It's practical. It's down on earth right where we live. We're told to be careful of our brother. Don't call him a fool. Don't call him Reka. We're to agree with him. Agree with thine adversary. And then in the remainder of chapter 5, we see there a regard for the redeemed and the unredeemed. Now in chapter 6, we see our realization of the presence of God. I don't think of anything that searches out my own heart more than the 6th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We read in there, the Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker, and he says to us, take heed that ye do not your alms before men. There's a presence that is more real than the presence of men. Don't do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He's looking. You're doing this in his presence. All right. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet, as the hypocrites do. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does. And thine alms, that thy alms may be seen of thy Father. It makes us Father conscious. And then there is the comparison of the material and the spiritual. Lay not up treasures for yourselves in the heavens, but lay up spiritual treasures, the things that will last. Where we lay up treasures on earth, moth and rust does corrupt. The material is the treasures on earth, and it corrupts. Moth eats it up. Now we are to have the spiritual blessings, the spiritual riches. And then there is the trust in the Heavenly Father. He meets all our needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's our judging others before we judge ourselves, and that's forbidden of the Lord. Judge not, lest you be judged. There's the encouragements to pray. There's the warning against false teachers. And there is the warning of making Christ and his word our foundation, as we see in the Lord's story about the man who built his house on the rock and the man who built his house on the sand. Our Father, today, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will help us understand the doctrine of the Word of God, the teachings of it, that our souls may be eternally blessed. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.